Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio. I hope you enjoyed the program. Good to have you with us on Sunday night. Our guest now, as he is once every 5 or 6 weeks, the Reverend Keith Garner of Sydney's Wesley Mission. Keith usually comes to us with an issue of the month as being experienced at Wesley with people and the issues at street level. Tonight, Keith, the issue of the aged. A bit hard to call the aged an issue, really, isn't it? Because more and more baby boomers are being classified as, and it's a bit of a shock to the system.
Well, usually we talk about a group like the homeless or something like that. I'm a bit concerned because we're picking it up a lot that there are a lot of people worried about the future. And this has come out of the Productivity Commission's report on the future of aged care in Australia. And a lot of people, I remember the time, it's only about 10 or 15 years ago, when they were all saying that we're all going to retire at 55, we'll all be on tennis courts and watching films and everything will be fine, there'll be nothing to worry about. But the reality is now, all around the Western world, certainly, the age of retirement is going to go up. We've got all the difficulties that the GFC has brought to people. I think that's raising issues for people moving into older age.
Paradise is an ever-receding vision. It's always one step out of grasp, but you are talking about something that's quite real and concrete.
Sure.
If you've got any observations or questions you want to ask of Keith, do feel free to give us a buzz or send us an SMS. The number's 1300 800 222, and the SMS, if you want to send us one, is 0467 922 702, 0467 922 702. But stay in tune with the conversation, and if you've got a question or two to ask, we've got 15 minutes or so in which we can chat about it. So Keith, where do you think the critical issues are as they confront you at Wesley?
Well, the Productivity Commission has come out with this concept that there should be greater choice for older people. And we generally at Wesley Mission would agree with that. We think that's a reasonable thing to say. At the same time, there is a danger in wanting to deal with that by greater flexibility, that actually some people at the bottom of the pile, and that's a wrong way of describing it, it's the only way I can communicate it quickly, are going to be hurt by this.
Flexibility usually means that the safety net gets a little wider, and hence some people will slip through.
Well, there's been a silence up to now on what's going to happen to those people who really need concessional places, need to be cared for. And we want to break that silence and say, come on, let's talk about this. I don't think this is a party issue. I think there's a cross-party concern about this. It's not new. It's not just simply arrived on the scene. But as people get older, they get very concerned. Is my money going to run out, if I have any? And what's going to happen? Who's going to look after me when I get to that stage?
Of course, that's been added to by the change in the nature of the nuclear family over the last couple of generations.
Certainly, and people now live further away, and the commitment of people to both working. There aren't the people to look after folks today.
And grandma's not going to live at home till she passes on.
Well, you know, I wouldn't want to say that. I think in many cases that's how it is, isn't it? But I have to say, in some cultures it still exists. But I think for many Aussies that live here, from different religious backgrounds as well, the world has changed dramatically. I mean, we take care for something like 3,200 older people in different ways at Wesley Mission. Some of them are
Is that a rapidly growing cohort for you?
Well, it's a large group of people that are wanting help at home, not just in residential villages. I mean, I think the future is going to be within the community. We know that that's going to be the case, but there's going to need to be resources there for people.
And you even hear of groups like Meals on Wheels getting very agitated that the budget's now being restricted for them, so they now can't deliver home-cooked meals. They've got to deliver sort of frozen feed, heat in the microwave type meals. And some people are saying, well, this is purely on the grounds of health and safety. Others are saying, no, this is pure economy, and what you lose in delivering stuff as frozen food for the microwave is that sense of personal interaction and community that you got when you took in a lovely cooked meal.
I mean, that's the reality of it, isn't it? It's going to hit everywhere. The fact is that a greater percentage of people in Australia are going to be over 65 than we ever imagined. We've almost sold ourselves to the world, haven't we, as being the young lucky country. Well, we're not quite as young as we used to be.
How deeply attitudinal is this? You've mentioned changes in society. We can tell by your voice, you come from Manchester. The riots in London last
week, some people were saying...
Not older people, mostly.
Some people were saying, no, these were the first commodity-driven riots. Yeah. That is, here are young people locked out of the system finally saying, I'm never going to get back into this system, I'll just take what I want.
Well, I think Tony Blair's right, if I'm honest. You know, he's made some speeches in the last 24 hours. I don't usually come out and say something like that. I think he was right in saying, let's not get over screwed up about this. The whole Western world isn't falling apart. However, I think it is true that a lot of people feel disenfranchised and are feeling, younger people particularly, feeling there's no hope and no future for them. Now, if people feel like that when they're young, what they're going to be like in 40 years' time when we're having this kind of conversation here, it won't be you and I don't think. You never know, though. You know, we might still be working. Who knows? And we're talking about how can we actually... look at the future. I think that hope has got to be part of it. And when you become older, there's a lot of things that are taken away from you. Your sense of independence, yes. your sense of intimacy can go if you lose your partner. You know, we know all those things. And I think we realise that there's some real dangers for us in our society. We're going to need more beds for people who are in higher care. All of this raises questions, I think.
And even the move into inner city living, where people are pushed into apartment blocks, strated units. How do old people cope with strata management issues? I mean, they even have to take on legal questions, which were never their role in the past. You're going to have a whole sort of branch of... I was told by a friend there's a whole branch of the legal profession now springing up around strata management. Well, that's something that older people, particularly if they've downsized, are going to find themselves caught in.
Absolutely, and they're going to find themselves not only with reduced financial capacity, but they're going to find themselves in a place where they really do struggle, because that creates stress, which creates ill health, which creates... And the pressure, you only have to see the pressure on the doctor's surgeries and all of that will come with this. So we're growing older. There are worries about the future. And I think that we need to have a conversation about what are the best ways. And this Productivity Commission thing has got us going on it. There's no doubt about that. But there's still some things to be said. What are we going to do for people who haven't got money? What are we going to do for those people who are not able to put together, as it were, bonds and packages to be able to secure their future? I think that's a very real challenge for us.
The one-size-fits-all model doesn't work wherever it's applied, does it? Like, it doesn't work with young unemployed people. It doesn't work with selected groups in your society. Mm. The sort of, let's develop a one-size-fits-all model for this brand of people. Okay, so for the aged, we get a one-size-fits-all model. And those models tend to be efficient bureaucratically, but they actually limit the capacity of the individual to be taken care of. The problem is that for societies in which people are saying we want to pay less tax and we want the size of government to be smaller, more and more the options for governments get narrowed, don't they? And they're forced into these one-size-fits-all models.
John, I think that you could say that the issues facing younger people and older people are not as far away from each other as you imagine, because we're trying to find solutions. And I have no envy of sitting as a government or as a bureaucrat and trying to handle this, because you know that there's only a pot to deal with issues, and we know that the issue is getting greater for us in Australia. So how do we actually face the challenge? Well, I think we've got to be realistic about it. We probably have to look at some of the positive things about older age. We've been saying, and this is a Christian perspective really of Wesley Mission, that maybe all of us need to live more simply. It's not really a very popular theme. If you say it, everybody kind of cheers and say, oh yes, I agree with that, but not me, you know. But I think we may have to live more simply, not simply that others might live, but simply that people might have a quality of life.
You raise one of the issues there that has been reflected in current discussions, and that is, have we lost a sense of community coherence? Is that what's breaking down? And that where we no longer share this sense of mutual obligation, and that the aged are going to become the victims of that more quickly than almost any other group.
And let's be honest, many of them are victims straight away in terms of what happens to them. You know, the reality is that we're struggling to keep pace with way things are. Taking aged care as one example, really it costs something like $200,000 to be able to create one aged care bed in terms of building something. So we're in the middle of trying to do something for some of our older people. And we know if you want to build something for 20 bits, 20 times $200,000 just to build something. So there's not going to be much option there, is there? Not many people have got that opportunity to do that.
We've had a caller who said Wesley Mission should sell what it has and give to the poor, an injunction that Jesus used to the rich young ruler.
Yeah.
What do you say about those who generally say, look, the churches are rich and wealthy institutions. They need to actually look to themselves here in this area.
Look, I think that you could have probably more easily said that in the past than you could today, actually, in reality. Many of the properties, for example, that an organisation like Wesley Mission have, and of course that's through the Uniting Church, are properties that are tied to programmes that you deliver. They're not actually ours in the sense of that we own all this and charge rent. They actually are the survival of actually delivering programmes. And I think there are stories, I heard stories coming out of Dublin in Ireland, for example, caught up in the middle of that economic crisis where churches are actually bankrupt in many places. And that tells you something that you would have never imagined you'd have been saying 50 years ago. And that reality is there.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there is the way in which churches these days are compelled to be much more transparent by dint of government scrutiny on the way they handle welfare over and against the way they handle worship, so that the two things are kept utterly separate by dint of sheer financial accountability.
Yeah, sure.
One needs
and all of us know in the not-for-profit sector and caring for people that a dollar has to go a lot further when you're caring for people than it does in many other areas of life. You not only have to be accountable for it, you have to make it stretch a long way.
Are Wesley going to be looking at this aged care issue with regard to what the Productivity Commission has said and other groups are saying? Are you looking towards developing a position yourselves, which you will recommend to government, or put in submissions?
Well, lots
on this,
of us have put in submissions, yeah. and we've welcomed some of the aspects that are there. We've talked about the risks that exist here in top end players coming into this mix. If they say everybody can be in there, where private players come into the market, because that's going to be where it's going to be in the future for some people, because we believe that will leave the lower, middle, and disadvantaged people somewhat in a poor situation, and we're concerned about that.
Do you think governments are too focused on getting out of public provision of housing and they've sort of got fascinated with this public-private model as if it's the panacea?
Well, I think there might be something in that, but I have to say, and I keep saying this, and it sounds, it's not a get out. The reality is that I have no desire to have to solve the problem, because the problem is a very real one.
Because churches have run housing estates before. I mean, some churches have actually built retirement villages. It was a great fashion for some years. And then all of a sudden the government upped the sort of standards of what had to be demanded, and churches found, we have to get out of here. Now, that's played out differently in different states, of course, but...
Well, the community sector, certainly in the state that I'm a part of, and I don't think it's really fundamentally different elsewhere, are realising there's a problem in many of the community services, so the non-government sector is needed to take on some of that responsibility. That's one of the things that is being said, and I think it's going to increasingly be said, but it's not said because I think people are just throwing it off and wanting to get rid of it. It's trying to find a way of dealing with the problem.
I had a friend of mine whose mother was aged, eventually had to go into a nursing home. That nursing home was owned by a church institution, run brilliantly well. The church institution, for reasons of the government saying we're going to up these standards and you're going to have this many hours and that many, basically said that cannot be managed by us. We'd best do the right thing, sell it on to a major private provider. Mm. It was sold on to a major private provider, and what happened immediately was the staff to patient ratio, the staff to patient, I use the word patient ratio, collapsed, and the service provision collapsed within 6 to 9 months from being a warm and friendly environment which had an ethos. Mm. To something else.
And of course, some of the values that the people made their choices on become the first victims when we do that kind of thing, because they choose to go into a place because they say, I know this happens. And once you start to make those choices, of course, they disappear. And I believe that that's rare. I think probably the other side of in which we should enter into the conversation is talk about the things that moving into older life increase and are better, because there are some things that can be better. And I don't just mean that we have more time, but perhaps opportunities to reflect, meet people, do things. And some of the good things that are happening is the more older people who are taking part.
Well, the third age really does take on a meaning now, doesn't it? When people are living, if they retire at 65, they've got an effective life of energy almost into their early 80s now. They're sort of 83, 84. You still find people actively involved. So that gives you virtually another career, doesn't it, in the voluntary or community sector, if
John,
you want
I
to
went
it.
To somebody's 106th birthday just a fortnight ago. And had the most articulate conversation with this woman who calls herself a cancer survivor because at 101 she found she had cancer, went to the doctors and the hospitals, and they weren't going to operate at first. So the family said to her, you know, we think you should operate, you know. And she said 5 further years, and she sat there at 106th birthday and actually says to me, I'll see you next year. We used to say, you know, when people reach 100, we make it. And at Wesley Mission, the superintendent's always visited people then. I'm going to a lot of them.
All you baby boomers out there, you've still got a new life to live. And it can be a life of giving back, can't it?
Of course it can. And I think that we need to recognise the skills, the resources and what these people carry with them in our community and not view them as problems. We've got to find ways of fixing this problem of the future of how do we actually care for an increasingly older community, but how do we actually at the same time engage an older community and contributing back to the wider.
Well, and rediscovering an older community, because there is, even in churches, they went for this phase of saying, we'll have youth services and then we'll have services for older people. And you tend to get this disconnect where society was being divided horizontally in the most vigorous ways. People are now beginning to actually rediscover that there are virtues in being connected.
Good story for me really is of the journalist that was interviewing the older person, and he said to her, what were things like in your days? And the 87-year-old woman said, this is my day. And I think that really that's where it's at. I don't think we're looking back at something, but saying, what is it for you now?
Yes. Keith Gunner, it's great to have you with us. And I'm just recalled to remember, as you tell that story, that Paul Lockyer, the ABC journalist who died this week, was a master at that sort of interaction. Mm. That Paul's great gift was to be able to sit with a person, no matter how their age or conditions or situation, and just relate.
Yeah,
as it is now.
And this week's been a reminder of the fragility of life, hasn't it, in that sense?
And the importance of conversation, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keith Garner, great to have you with us on Sunday night. We look forward to you every time you come in. And we'll see you again in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, look forward to it very much indeed.
This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. Thank you for listening.